Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Standing here so many years, when I talk about death, everybody gets quiet. When I talk about sex, everybody gets super quiet. I mean, you want to see a church that's totally mixed up, confused, and immoral, and there's all kind of conflicts going on, all kinds of immorality. And Paul now, in the first four chapters, he has said something, as you read the rest of 1 Corinthians, that's a little bit surprising. He says, all of you are Christians. Oh, these are Christians? We're just beginning to get into some serious stuff here, folks.
The truth is, the church is meant to look different from the world around it. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message redefined and looks at how immorality within the body of Christ will affect the whole church. Stay with us. That message is coming up next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Redefined.
California this past week, a family had a barbecue in their backyard, invited all their neighbors to come, children, dogs. The man who was barbecuing looked over in a bush and saw a rattlesnake coiled. Maybe you read about it. And he wanted to get the rattlesnake out of the way, and so he took the tongs he was barbecuing with, and he went and grabbed the rattlesnake, trying to take him away, and the snake struck him in the arm. They called 911, and also they called the Catch and Release Protection Agency for the environment and for animals that existed in that city, and they came. The ambulance arrived to take him away the same time that the environmentalists came to catch and release the snake in another habitat. Interestingly, a bigger crowd was around the capture of the snake than was watching the man who had been struck by the snake put in the ambulance. We're always attracted to snakes more than we are to the victim. Have you noticed that? The bottom line is, everybody here has been snake bitten, every single one of us, no exceptions. You say, what is that all about? It started in the Garden of Eden. The snake, evil, came, asked Eve a question or two. She decided to eat the fruit, so as the evil snake had told her, she would be like God. She was bitten by the snake. Adam was bitten by the snake. We call that, in theological terms, the fall of man. It is the fall. And in the process, the poisonous venom went into the bloodstream of the first man and the first woman. And guess what? That venom has been carried down all through the ages until all of us were born with snake venom within us that will kill us. What was God's answer? The cross. The cross. Because God came into this world, and we read He died for our sins. He died for that venom that is flowing in your veins and in my veins. And by the way, do you know what anti-venom is? What does it consist of? Anti-venom is blood mixed with venom from snakes. And they took this man to the hospital, and I assure you, they took some anti-venom and put it in his bloodstream so he would be, how about this word, saved. And so Jesus Christ, in a supernatural transaction that no one completely understands, God put on him all the snake bites that you and I have ever had, and therefore his perfect blood that was shed becomes an anti-venom that when we receive him as Lord and Savior, that anti-venom works in you and in me, and that's the background of the word salvation. Now, if someone would doubt that we're born bitten by the snake, this is a brief theological, biblical background, but I can prove it to you experimentally. I can prove it to you by how we live. For example, did anybody have to teach anybody here how to lie? You know, how to deceive, how to lust, how to be prideful, how to have those humble brags that we do. Well, I've done all this, but oh, it's of God. You know, we were so skillful. Humble brags, are we not? Who taught us to defend ourselves? Who taught us to get involved in all? How do we learn that? We are born bitten by the snake. And the anti-venom that comes in us from the blood of Jesus Christ, that is what saves us. I like the word salvaged us, as you know, restores us to the purpose for which we were made. So, we come to this side of the cross, and God begins to work a miracle in our lives. And then we grow up in our faith. We call that sanctification. We call that maturity. We call that all of a sudden helping God to build His mind, His heart, in His way in you and me. And we have what we call character. Character is not something we have. It's something we become. Oh, he has character. Have you and I become with genuine character that God gives? That's the process of growing and maturity. So we come to this moment in our study of Corinth, and we see, as we studied chapter 1, 2, 3, 4 of Corinth. Some of you have been around, you remember where we are. The church in Corinth that Paul established is becoming more like the culture of Corinth than the culture of Corinth is being penetrated by the church. Because they came to faith in Jesus Christ, they came to the cross, and they realized they were bitten by the snake, and they received Christ, but now the church in Corinth is in a mess. I mean, you want to see a church that's totally mixed up, confused, and immoral, and there's all kind of conflicts going on, all kinds of immorality. And Paul now, in the first four chapters, He has said something, as you read the rest of 1 Corinthians, that's a little bit surprising. He says, all of you are Christians. Oh, these are Christians? We're just beginning to get into some serious stuff here, folks. They're Christians. And in chapter 1, he says, you are in Christ. By the way, you want to find the theme of the life of Apostle Paul? That's it, two words, being in Christ. That's the theme of all his writings. We are to be in Christ. He said, you're in Christ in the last part of that first chapter. He says, you are redeemed. We've been bought back. We're in the family. We don't deserve to be. That bloodshed redeemed us, paid the price for your sin and my sin, and that anti-venom begins to work. We're redeemed. Then he says, we're holy. Man, I don't think about being holy. Can you believe that we are holy? In God's sight, we are set aside, because the next word he says, we're righteous. I don't feel very righteous. Do you feel righteous? Well, sometimes a little bit, but he says, it is the righteousness of Christ that has been put inside you and me. So we're in Christ, and this is who we are. So Paul establishes us doctrinally. Well, I don't like doctrine. Listen, doctrine is what we believe, what we really believe. And what we really believe should determine the life that we live. In fact, the life that we live also speaks back to say, that's what you and I really believe. All the rest is words. And Paul has already said, the kingdom of God is not words, it is power. It is power. So now he's put the foundation down, and there's plenty of debate in the church. There are factions in the church, theological discussions in the church. And he says, you know, this is not who the church is. We're all one in Christ. We are a new creation. We're a new race. We're all one in Christ. There's no discrepancies, no someone's better or worse than anybody else. We're all in Christ. And as he's put this foundation sound down, it says, you Corinthians are Christians. And then in chapter 5, he introduces us to a whole section that goes on and on and on, and he talks about sexual immorality. Ooh. Standing here so many years, when I talk about death, everybody gets quiet. When I talk about sex, everybody gets super quiet. But here he introduces in chapter 5, these are Christians now. These are part of the church. He introduces immorality, and I want you to open your Bibles with me. It's good to bring them to church. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, and let's read, listen together, these first verses. He says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, Christians, of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. Well, this must really be something. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you're proud. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning? Incest. And he says, for a man to sleep with their stepmother, even the Roman law would forbid that, let alone the principle of Christ. The Roman law said, this is outside the realm. Now remember where they lived. They lived in Corinth. And the church was an island of people who had received Christ, and they were living around perhaps one of the most sensual societies that this world has ever known. Las Vegas, Sin City. What happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. I know you've never heard that. That's exactly what they would say in biblical day. The Corinthians, what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. It's Sin City. And a lot of these Christians had been living decadent lives of total immorality. There was a freedom of sex and sexual expression. Man, it was widespread in Corinth, and they even had a temple to Aphrodite in which sex was worshiped. It's the highest form of pleasure, and so they worshiped sex. So many of these Christians had come out of that environment, and they'd come into the church, but now this one person Paul is talking about, evidently he was a prominent member of the church, and evidently everybody knew about it in the church, and all those outside the church knew about it. Perhaps he was a deacon or teacher, pastor. We don't know what his role was, but he was very prominent, very important. And it says the church was proud. Isn't that crazy? Of this incestuous life he was living. I guess the church would say to all those immoral Christians, our church is so progressive and we're so tolerant and we're so up to speed in the first century. We've got, you know who it is, in our church living an incestuous life, and he's still teaching, he's still functioning, and we just sort of turn away from it, and we're kind of, you'd fit in our church too. You don't have to change your lifestyle very much. We sort of accept all of this. We don't question all of this. And they were proud of it. And then Paul says, but shouldn't you be mourning? And the word mourning there means there has been a death. And it's mourning deeply. Someone has been taken away. And Paul is saying, instead of being proud of this person, say, we have this. You see, it was the kind of person that they would say, guess who's a member of our church? The mayor, the governor, whoever. Oh, man, we're so proud to have them. And now they said, instead of being proud, you should be mourning over the incest that this man, common knowledge, is participating in. A Christian. And then Paul says, this is what you do about it. This is strong medicine, folks. He says, put out of your fellowship the man who's been doing this, for in my part, says Paul, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed judgment in the name of Jesus. You mean Paul is judging this person? Let me say, for about the 20th time in the last couple of years, this little thing, don't judge me, judge not, you'll be not judged. We are not to judge because you and I are not qualified to judge because we do not know all that's involved. But what God has already spoken about in judgment, thou shalt not kill. Well, here's a murderer, but we're not going to judge him. No, when God has already spoken about biblical truths, what is right and what is wrong, it is not judgment to say, this is wrong. You don't act like that. You don't speak like that. You don't operate like that. You don't live what God has already judged. Paul is saying God has already said in Jesus Christ that incest is a deadly, deadly moral sin. Jesus pronounced that judgment. Paul did not have to do it. And then look at what he says. He says, what do you do? He says, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the latter part, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Now, keep that in your mind. This very prominent person in the church, in the city, is going to be called before the Christians in his immoral lifestyle. And look at the purpose of it. See the purpose? So that he might be salvaged. So that he might be saved. And says, what do you do with him? You turn him over, you turn his flesh over to Satan. Some people say that means that Ananias, Sapphira, he's going to die and have physical problems. It may be physical problems, but it's something even deadlier than that. You know what that means, turn his flesh over to Satan? It means that that passion, that sexual drive that led him away from his wife and his children with infidelity and with all the things, that infidelity that led him into this lifestyle, that lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of the life, the world, the flesh, the devil, whatever it was, he says, they're going to lose that sexual desire. Whew. It's going to be taken away. In other words, you have an addiction. Oh, I just smoke 2 or 3 cigarettes a day, and I'm smoking a pack a day or 2 packs a day. That I'd go, sure. Oh, I'm just going to try a little alcohol, and I drank more and more and more. How does it work? Oh, I'm going to experiment here with this drug, and I'm going to control. You see, with all the addiction that we have, and once we have the addiction, and we let it go, and we have this, and we let it go, we have this, and we let it go, and it has this, and we let it go, and then it has us. That's the story of every addiction you can name. So this is what happened. And so he says, just let him follow. Let the results of this addiction take its course. And every kind of immoral addiction takes its course, does it not? Study the life of any individual you can find. It catches up with you. Public knowledge. Bill Gates, now in a divorce. He and his wife are going to have to split $148 billion. Whew.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
1 Corinthians 13:12. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. It won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. A man I know in my city grew up at the foot of the Matterhorn in the Alps. One summer, his family decided to vacation there to see all the sights they had been hearing about for years. They arrived in the evening and checked into a room facing the mountain. The next morning, they were disappointed to find the mountain hidden by a dense fog. But just a few hours later, they opened the curtains to a breathtaking view. The majestic Matterhorn in all of its grandeur. We cannot see anything clearly on this side of heaven. We walk around on earth in a proverbial fog. But as we grow in Christ, the fog lifts and our vision clears until the day we walk into the breathtaking glory and grandeur of heaven. There, every day is a clear day, and we can see forever.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which He wants to build your family and marriage. In His 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today. Come back tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Dr. Young's message as he shares more proven truth about how we are to be serious about dealing with immorality in the church.